1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 9. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they beheld your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting in the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Father, as we come tonight, we again praise you. We do thank you for the blessings that you've put on us. We think about so many things that you've done for us and given to us. And Lord, we could spend hours just counting our blessings, all of it because of you and your grace. And now tonight we come and ask you for another blessing. We'd ask you to meet with us. We know the joy of having you meet with us. We know how blessed we are when your Holy Spirit is free to work in our midst. And we'd ask for that to be the case tonight. I pray for every adult here, every man, every woman, that they would just open their heart tonight to the teaching, the preaching of your word, the concepts and principles of your word concerning the family unit and the husband and wife relationship. I pray for every dad that's here tonight that he would open his heart, that he would see how you would want him to be as a husband and a dad. And Lord, I pray that as we see what your word has to say, that we wouldn't be just hearers of the word, but doers. And that we would seek to change whatever needs to be changed, that we might be more of what you want us to be. Father, our families need help. Our families are in trouble here in America. Our families are in trouble in the churches of America. Help us tonight. Minister to us as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I started this last week titling it, The Husband, Lover, Leader, and Priest of the Home. And last week we got to see the husband, the lover in the home. And this week I want to deal with the husband, the leader, and the priest in the home. By way of introduction last week, I made the statement that the family unit in America is in serious jeopardy. And I elaborated some on how our homes in America are in trouble. We see so many problems in the homes of America. We see domestic violence. We see molestation of children by parents. We see neglect. We see just broken homes. We see all kinds of problems in the home. And we even see murder in the home today. I heard on the news tonight the fellow who killed his two little girls and his mother-in-law down there in Hellertown, going to court today, and how sad that is. But I said last week that we need to realize our churches are not immune from this. We need to realize it's not just a problem out there. The problem has overflowed into the church, and the families in our churches are having problems. And the reason families in our churches are having problems is because families in our churches are not lining up with the Word of God. And last week we kind of zeroed in and targeted dads. I said last week, the question is, who is to blame? Is it because husbands are failing in their God-given roles as leaders in the home? Is it because women have a new outlook and philosophy, having now been liberated by the women's liberation movement? Is it because children are no longer disciplined and required to obey their parents? Or is it because society as a whole is to blame for its pernicious, undisciplined, immoral, liberal, modern-day philosophies and influence? Who's to blame? Well, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. But I said last week, we want to kind of zero in on dads and look at what dads need to be and what dads need to do. Tonight I said I want to zero in on the husband, the leader, and the priest in the home. Let's look first of all at the husband as the leader in the home. First and foremost, the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home. He is responsible before God to be the spiritual leader, to lead his family in spiritual matters. Husband, dad, you better realize that awesome responsibility that falls on your shoulders. And let me say this. You might be the greatest Christian in the church house. You might be the best bus captain. You might be the best deacon. You might be the best whatever you want to be in the church. But first and foremost, you better be the best husband and dad at home, because you will give an account for your family at home. Somebody wrote this. Said, sadly, it's a rare thing to find a Christian husband who emphasizes this aspect of his leadership above all other areas. Yet it is foundational to all other aspects of leadership in the home. Dad must be the spiritual leader. Many Christian men emphasize their leadership role in financial matters, decision making, and etc., but fall short in the area of spiritual leadership. How are dads supposed to be the spiritual leaders? Well, dad, number one, if you're going to be a spiritual leader, you better be led by God. You better be in a right relationship, and you better be being led by God. Now, it's no secret that we believe that the Bible teaches that the wife and the children are to follow the husband. God has a plan, and here's God's plan. Christ is to lead. The father and husband is to follow Christ. As he follows Christ, then the wife and the children are to follow him. Dad, husband, if you're not following Christ, how in the world do you expect your wife and children to follow you? I have husbands come to me, "Preacher, my wife won't submit to me. My wife won't follow me." Well, you sorry dog, if you'd follow Christ, maybe she'd follow you. Problem is, your wife's probably more spiritual than you are, and you want to go a direction she knows is wrong. And you come to me and you want me to tell your wife to submit to your husband and follow him while he follows the world? I don't think so. I don't think so. Oh, we like to go over to Ephesians and cite that verse, and in Colossians there, and cite the verse where it says that wives are to submit under their own husbands, but that's all we want to read. We want to stop there. Now, we have a responsibility, we do, dads, to follow Christ. And if we're going to be the spiritual leaders in our homes, first and foremost, we better make sure we're right with God. We better make sure we're following Him. We better make sure that we've got this parade going in the right direction. Dad, if you're going to follow Christ, you better be reading your Bible. You know, I've been around Baptists for a long time. I've met the dashboard Baptist, the back ledge Baptist, the Coffee Table Baptist, the Bookshelf Baptist, and the I Don't Know Where It Is Baptist. You know what I'm talking about. Those are all the places you'll find a lot of Christian men's Bibles during the week. Oh, they'll carry it on Sunday because they want to put on a show. They don't want anybody to think they're unspiritual. So on Sunday morning, they got their Bible in their hand, and when the preacher says open up, they open up. You don't always know if they find a place or not. They just open up and look halfway intelligent. Nobody ever knows. But then when church is over on Sunday, they get to the car, and you know, it's the old, throw it on the dashboard. Throw it on the back panel back there by the window. Throw it on the back seat. Or some are too spiritual for that. They take it home, take it in the house, and throw it on the coffee table. And there it stays the rest of the week. I don't think God ever intended that for a husband and a dad. How are you going to lead your family spiritually if you're not even in the book? You know, it's sad, but I see this. There are a lot of women who put their husbands to shame when it comes to reading the Bible and praying. That's sad. The wife isn't called on to be the leader. The wife isn't called on with that awesome responsibility that she's going to answer to God one day for that family. That's given to the husband, and yet the wife is more spiritual in her Bible reading and prayer than the husband? Huh. Oh, preacher, wait a minute, I work. Well, that's interesting. You work, but you have time to read the newspaper. You have time to read Sports Illustrated. You have time to watch the television. You have time to go golfing. You have time to do anything you want to do, but you don't have time to read your Bible because you work. God bless your little wooden heart. I don't have time before work, preacher. Get up earlier. Read it before you go to bed at night. Read it at lunchtime. I don't care when you read it, but read it. Get in the book. If you're going to be the spiritual leader in your home, get in the book. And mark it down. You can fool people. You can fool me. You can probably fool the whole world about whether you're in the book or not. But I'm going to tell you something. The proof will be in the pudding. When your kids don't turn out, you can look back and say, boy, I wish I would have did what the preacher said and gotten that book every day. You better get in your prayer closet. You better get to be a prayer warrior. And I'll tell you what, how many of you have kids that are not teenagers yet? You better start praying now. I'm not trying to scare you, but boy, when they get to be teenagers, you better have them bathed in prayer. And you better have a pattern set that you bathe them every day. See, right now, you can keep them pretty much under your thumb. You're still bigger than they are. And they're still a little bit afraid of you. When they get to be teenagers and they get their own mind, buddy, you better be praying. If you're going to be a spiritual leader, Dad, you better be in your Bible and you better be in your prayer closet. That's a basic. I mean, that's a minimum. If you're going to be the kind of husband you ought to be. When I talk about your prayer closet, I'm talking about serious prayer. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about 2 minutes before you walk into work. I'm talking about some serious prayer. Do you know if you're going to be the right kind of leader, your family needs to know that you're in your Bible and you're praying. Your kids need to know you have a personal time with God. Your wife needs to know you're having a personal time with God every day. You know, I've had wives say to me, preacher, I just don't know if my husband reads his Bible and prays every day. I never see him do it. He never talks about it. Well, if you're being a Christian incognito, you better come out of your closet real quick. Your family needs to know You don't have to sit in front of them and have your devotions, but they need to know that you're having your devotions through your testimony. Maybe they will see you through your relating to them how you were praying and got answer to your prayer. However it is, but they need to know that you're on praying ground and you're getting with God every day. Let me ask you this question. This is primarily to you men. How far would you want to follow me as your preacher if you didn't think I was in touch with God? I know if I was sitting where you are, I wouldn't want to follow a man around the corner if I didn't think he was in touch with God. One of the things about following your pastor is you better believe he's in touch with God. And if he's in touch with God, he's following God. You just line up with him. Everything will be all right. And it's the same in the family unit. If dad's in touch with God, mom, you line up behind him. Kids, you line up behind them, and everything will be all right. He must take time for serious prayer. His family needs to know he's having a personal time with God. We lead best by personal example. He must be aware of the spiritual needs of his family. And that comes by spending time with each member of their family and finding out what their spiritual needs are. What's your wife's spiritual needs, husband? What are the burdens on your wife's heart, husband? What are the difficulties she's facing every day, husband? You're sitting there saying, well, I don't know that stuff. Well, you should know that stuff. You're the husband. You're going to pray for your wife. You're going to ask God to help your wife. What are you going to ask Him to help her with? What about your children? How are you going to pray for your children if you don't know what their problems are and what their difficulties are and what their struggles are and what their weaknesses are? The dad must see to it that the family is faithful to all church services, faithful in serving the Lord. There's an old concept. Don't send your kids to church, you take your kids to church. Now, I'm thankful for the bus ministry, and I'm thankful for the folks who go out and bring kids in whose parents won't go to church. I'm thankful that those kids are coming because at least there's a chance. At least there's a possibility we can reach them and see them go on for the Lord when their parents didn't care enough to take them. But I want to tell you something. That should not be a Christian's attitude. I've run into people and you don't see them in church and they say, well, yeah, preacher, but I send my kids. I'll talk to parents whose kids are grown and they'll say, well, I wasn't much of a churchgoer, but I sent my kids every week. Well, God bless you. Isn't that wonderful? What did it do for them but tell them that you're a hypocrite? You go to church, but I don't need it? Don't sound very good to me. As I said, we teach best. We set the best pace by our personal example. And we need to bring them to church. We need to show kids that we're going to be in every service. We need to show them how to serve the Lord. We need to show them I'm going to be faithful to do what God wants me to do. You need to show them I'm going to be willing when God touches my heart about serving Him to serve Him. You know why we have churches full of people who don't want to do anything now? Because they watched a generation of people before them who didn't want to do anything. And they think that's how church is supposed to be. Oh yeah, I go to church. I go Sunday morning. I go Sunday night. I go Wednesday night. Do you do anything in the church? No. Why not? Never thought much about it. Mom and Dad didn't do anything. And that's exactly what the children learn. The husband is to be the provider in the home. Turn to 1 Timothy 5:8. Now, if you're just a little bit liberal and a little bit queasy, you better buckle your seatbelt, because you ain't going to like what I'm going to say. But quite frankly, I don't care if you like it. I'm going to tell you the truth. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, notice that's male. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, the man, scripturally, is responsible to provide for the needs of his family. He is to provide for material needs, food, clothing, shelter, transportation, etc., etc., etc. That falls on the shoulders of the man. It's our responsibility. He is responsible to provide financially by earning a living. I don't believe in, I don't advocate, and I don't believe God ever designated or designed the stay-at-home dad. That's another perversion of the world. Sounds so silly when you think about it, that mom will be like a queen bee. She'll come home, get pregnant, bear a child, and then she'll go off to work and let somebody else raise it. Daddy will stay home and be the stay-at-home mom, and he'll cook and he'll sew and he'll clean and he'll wear his little apron, you know, and mom will be the breadwinner. That's a perversion. It's not supposed to be that way. Now, people say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What about a case where the husband's handicapped? That's an exception. I'm talking about the rule. There are times and occasions where that's going to have to be the case. But I'm talking about where people voluntarily put themselves in that place where the husband and wife, like so many do today, just get together and decide. I heard a fellow call up talk radio the other day, and he said he was upset with his wife. And the host said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, my wife has had a child, and she wants to stay home with the child. And the host said, well, what's wrong with that? He said, well, I'd like her to stay home 3 years. And then when she stayed home 3 years, I'd like her to go to work and I'll stay home 3 years. And I thought, boy, if I could have the microphone. God says a man is responsible to provide for his family and to work and be the breadwinner of the family. That's God's plan. Now, don't jump ahead of me too quick. You say, you mean you're saying wives should never work? No, I'm not saying that. If that's how you want to run your home and that's what you want to do, that's fine. But the ultimate responsibility falls on the dad. Larry, I hope you get him soon. I want to look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. I'm sorry, it must be 1 Thessalonians. Let me look. Nope, it's second. Verse 10. Paul writes, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know, God did not plan for welfare to take care of people who refused to work. Did you know that? God did not ordain a welfare system like we have in America today. Now, God does have a plan for people who are disabled and things where, actually, believe it or not, it's the church's responsibility to help them. If we get down to being strictly biblical about it, read about the church in Acts. Who took care of those who had a need? Church did. God didn't intend for people to be on welfare. God intended for people to work. Go back to Genesis, and God says, by the sweat of the man's brow is he going to earn his keep.
Yes, sir.
God expects people to work. America has made people welfare recipients and people looking for a handout. But that ought not to be among Christians. We have a work ethic. We know what God expects of us. And I'm a little sick and tired of dads who want to sit around and collect a check. No, get out there and work. Get a job. It's the way it's supposed to be. Support your family. Don't teach your kids that you sit back and let the government support you. People say, well, what about unemployment? Hey, if you're unemployed for a little while and you need a little bit of help, I don't have a problem with that. But I have a problem with people who want to get on welfare and stay on welfare and expect other people to support them and pay their way. No, get out there and get a job. That's God's word. The husband is to provide lovingly and generously for his wife and his children's physical needs. Notice I said lovingly and generously. He ought not to be selfish or self-centered with his provision. You know, a lot of husbands, their attitude about taking care of their family just baffles me. You know, they'll come home with a paycheck and they'll give the wife a couple dollars for groceries and they'll stick the rest of that paycheck in their pocket. And they'll go do everything they want to do with it, and the wife's got to somehow try to feed those kids and clothe those kids and give them lunch money for school and everything she's got to do out of some little paltry sum while he's walking around like Mr. Big Deal. You're playing that game, you're sorry. You are. You're just sorry. You ought to love your wife and love your family enough that you think of them first. And if you walk around with nothing in your pocket, so be it, but they will be taken care of properly. Told you wouldn't like some of the things I have to say. 1 Timothy 5:8, look there. Paul writes, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, providing for his own there carries the idea of money management that's not selfish. The husband is to be the manager of the home. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I know these are qualifications for pastor and a little further on for deacons, but I want you to understand this is the pattern God says should be in every home. Hello? There's a pattern God wants in every home. In verse 3, he says that the pastor, or verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? God expects the man to be able to rule his own house. Look at verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. God expects the man to be the ruler or the manager, if you will, of the home. See, a lot of men like to read that ruler, and they envision a throne with this golden scepter and with a zap gun. No. When God says ruling your house, you're managing your house. We need to be able to do it well. It's not dictatorship, but wise management. He's to learn to delegate authority and responsibilities. It's the dad's responsibility to organize the house and delegate the things that need to be done so that the home can operate in smooth operation. You know, the dad ought to evaluate his talents and his abilities, his wife's talents and abilities, his children's talents and abilities, and he ought to designate jobs and things accordingly so that it runs smoothly. It's not the me, Tarzan, you, Jane routine. Let me give you an illustration. I've had to deal with this from time to time. Married couples have come to me and said, "Preacher, who should take care of the checkbook?" And the man says, "Seems like if my wife takes care of the checkbook, I'm abdicating my authority to her." And the wife says, "Preacher, he can't take care of the checkbook. The man has no sense about finances." Well, the answer is very simply this. If the husband has enough sense to know that he's not good with finances, he ought to delegate that to his wife. She's not taking his authority. She's doing what he told her to do. Good night, man. Use your head. If you're not gifted in it, let somebody do it that is. Get off your macho image. I've seen families almost go into bankruptcy over this thing. He just insists, "Bless God, I'm the man and I'll pay the bills around here," and he never does it. And when he does, it's haphazard. And he's just not good with handling money. And let me say this. There's no rule that men are better than women at handling money or women are better than men. I've seen both sides. I've seen some women that can squeeze a penny to Lincoln screams. I mean, they're just good at it. And then I've seen somebody you don't want near your checkbook. And I've seen husbands on the same way. I mean, they can make a nickel stretch. They can do a lot. And they can handle the paying of the bills and things on time. And they can do it. But then I've seen husbands who can't handle it. Learn what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. That's why God made you one. And work together. You know, one of the best things you can do in handling your finances as a married couple is do them together. Keep each other informed. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. You know, I've heard about some husbands who, I don't know, they think paying the bills is top secret. I mean, they keep that bill book and that checkbook under lock and key, and woe be to the wife if she ever dares to look at it. What's going to happen to her if you keel over one day, bud? She's going to know absolutely nothing about any of it. The husband is to delineate clearly the rules for the home. Do you know, Dad, you ought to set up some rules for your house? Your house ought not to be chaos. And you shouldn't be making the rules as you go. You ought to have some rules for your house. Here, there are certain things that we do. There are certain things we don't do. These are the rules for our house. And as long as you live in this house, these are the rules. That's why you were there. If God didn't want children to have rules, God wouldn't have gave them parents. He would have just had them birthed out in the jungle somewhere and let them come up by themselves. Children need rules, and believe it or not, wives need rules, and husbands need rules. Rules are our fence posts, our guidelines. Rules let us know how far we can go. And we need to have rules in our homes. You know, it makes your children secure when there are rules in your home. Do you know, husbands, believe it or not, it makes your wife secure when there are rules in your home. There's a structure. Most of you know me well enough by now to know I don't function well without structure. I don't. You ask my wife, we go on vacation, we go somewhere where I'm out of my structure. It's hard for me. I like structure. I feel very secure when there's a structure. But you put me into chaos, I don't like it a lick. And your children and your wife should not have to live in chaos every day. When your kids get up in the morning, they ought to know the rules of the house. When they go to bed at night, they ought to know the rules of the house. When they get to be teenagers, they ought to know the rules are still the same. They haven't changed. When they get to be 21, they ought to know the rules are still the same. They haven't changed. We had one son that stayed with us till he was 26 years old. He had been off to college and back already, had a job full time, earning a good living and things. He was still living in my house. And a few times I reminded him, son, you may be grown, you may be 26, you may have your own job, your own car, paying your own bills. I thank God for it, but you need to understand something. You're still living in my house. And my rules still apply. If you don't like my rules, there's an apartment house right down the road. And go sign a lease, I'll let you live there. You make your own rules. But my house are my rules. See, you need to establish those. You need to establish them when they're this big. Mm-hmm. You need to set up some rules for your house, Dad. You're responsible to do that. Things that will happen and won't happen in your house. By the way, when they get to be teenagers, you'll be thankful you did. I have many wives who complain to me that their husbands are lax in establishing the rules and or enforcing them, leaving the wife to be the bad guy. If you're playing that game, again, you're a sorry character. You want to be your child's friend. You cannot be your child's friend and parent at the same time. Your kid don't need a friend. He needs a mom and dad. Dad goes off to work. Mom has all the problems with the kid. Tries to tell Dad when he comes home, we got problems with this kid. And Dad says, well, you handle it. No, you handle it. The husband is to be a competent leader in the home. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. A husband's leadership in the home involves an intelligent sense of responsibility for the home. You know, nobody wants to follow incompetent leadership. Did you know that? How many of you have ever had a job? How many of you have ever had a boss that was incompetent? How did you like it? Did you want to follow that boss? No way. Nobody wants to follow somebody who's incompetent. So, Dad, in the home, husband, we need to be competent leaders in the home. We need to build confidence in our wife. We need to build confidence in our children that they have confidence in us. We need to show them that, yes, we make good decisions. We know how to make good decisions. We know how to do the right thing. And we're going to do the right thing. And they need to be confident in that. Many men are so very competent and intelligent and responsible leaders on the job. But seems like they're just the opposite at home. They expect everything at home just to move along without thought or direction or consideration on their part. They expect everything at home is just going to happen. When at work, boy, they're micromanagers. The husband must be a considerate leader. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. To be a good leader, one must be considerate of those who are under your leadership. Husbands, we must deliberately honor and consider our wives and show her consideration. We should honor our wives in public. Fellas, listen to me. Don't ever ridicule. Don't ever mock. Don't ever denigrate your wife in public. Number one, it's going to get you on the couch. Cooking your own food. Washing your own socks. And number two, it's going to destroy your relationship. Don't you ever publicly ridicule, mock, or try to make a fool of your wife. Mm-mm. You need to show honor to her in public. Don't make her a laughing stock. Don't make disparaging remarks about your wife to other people. The husband should honor her in private. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the third chapter, and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, husbands are not to be unduly harsh towards their wives, not to call them unkind names, not to say things to hurt them. You know, some husbands use words like daggers. Some husbands say things just to hurt. You know, sometimes maybe the wife's overweight. Maybe she's had several children and has had a weight problem. And the husband just plays on that and ridicules her for that and digs at her. But that's not right. Maybe there's some other weakness that the husband knows about. And instead of praying for her and trying to help her, oh, he just uses that and just gets his digs in with that. That's not right. No, we're supposed to honor our wives, and we're supposed to be considerate of our wives. Do you know, fellas, we're supposed to compliment our wives once in a while. It won't kill you to say, honey, that was a good meal. I mean, even if she microwaved it. Honey, you did a great job microwaving that meal. I appreciate it. When's the last time you paid your wife a compliment? I mean, when's the last time you said something nice about something she did or how she looks? When's the last time on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening you said your outfit looks nice? It wouldn't kill you to do that. Honey, I appreciate the house looks so nice. Yes, sir. Yeah, we can do that. We are supposed to compliment our wives, and we're supposed to honor them and treat them accordingly. The husband needs to be considerate towards his children. And we raise kids, and we love kids. We've been around kids a lot. I know they'll drive you up a wall. They'll get you the place you want to pinch your little heads off. I mean, you want to super glue them down somewhere. I thought on occasions about putting hooks on the wall and just hanging their little self up there. But I want to tell you something. We need to respect children as people. Our son Billy used to have a shirt. I don't know if you remember it or not. Said, kids are people too. And that's such a glib saying. But you know, I read that when he had that shirt on one day. And I looked at that. And that really gripped my heart. Sometimes we don't think about children as kids as being people. They have feelings. And they have wants. And they have desires. And they have needs. And so while we discipline and while we hold the line and while we've got to be the meanies, we can also bear in mind we're dealing with people. We need to respect their feelings.